Now, some of you have heard this story before, but it ties in so well with our scripture today that it bears repeating. In 1969, my grandfather was murdered at his place of business in downtown Houston. And my father was there and witnessed the shooting. He always felt like he should have been able to do something. But he was sweeping up that morning, getting ready for the day, and all he had in his hand was a broom as the criminal ran away. It was at a very, very traumatic time for our family, as you can well imagine. And I remember that morning. I had been sick that whole month of May, and I was really out of school for the year, to be honest, and took my finals in the summer. But I was still in bed, and I just remember being awakened by my 10-year-old brother, who was crying as hard as I had ever heard him cry, and all he could say was, "Granddaddy is dead," over and over again. And I kind of came awake, what? And it didn't even seem real. And my sister, my older sister, on her way to school that day, heard the news as it was broadcast on the radio. Very hard time for us. But as the time passed, we all started the healing process, which, as you know, takes some time. And I remember over the next, 20 years probably, maybe more, I had this recurring dream that I would go to my grandmother's house and I would knock on the door, which I never did, so it had to be a dream because I was just walked in. But I would knock on the door and she would open the door, and she just had steps. There wasn't a proper porch. And so when she opened the door, you'd have to back down the steps so the door could open, and then you have to go back up the steps so you could get in the house. And I would walk in, and this happened every time. She would say, "Hi, Suge, there's someone here who wants to see you." And we would walk through the living room and through the dining room and there across in front of the bathroom and into the back bedroom, which was my grandfather's bedroom. And I would see him there in the bed, and I would say, "Granddaddy, we thought you were dead." And he never said anything, but she always said, "No, he just wasn't feeling well. He'll be better soon." That's the dream. And I bet every single one of you in here today can recall the death of someone in your life, whether it seemed like a peaceful death or whether it was something that was really, really traumatic. Some of those stories can be bittersweet, and some of them can still bring tears to our eyes today. I know that the people in New Braunfels will still be carrying that sting and shock of grief as they mourn the deaths of so many of their friends and family members. Death is inevitable. I once heard a priest say, "The only guarantee we have in life is that no one gets out of here alive." And that sounds kind of harsh, but the fact is, it's true. But it leaves an empty space in our heart when someone we love dies, regardless of the way they pass from the earth. Death is always much harder for those who are left behind than it is for the one who dies. Now today we focus on this story of Lazarus. It's sometimes called the raising of Lazarus. And you might have noticed that the reading was 45 verses long. That's a long story. And no preacher can do justice to that many verses and only 15 minutes or so. So I'm not even going to try to do that. Instead, I'm going to focus on Mary and Martha and their reaction to Jesus when he came to help. And I'm going to focus on the end of this story and see where that takes us. So here's the quick version of the story. Jesus and the disciples are out on the road when he gets a message from Martha, the sister of Lazarus. He had a very deep affection for this family, and they all show up in the Gospels from time to time. In all four of the Gospels, we hear about Mary and Martha and Lazarus in some way or another. Well, the note that Jesus receives informs him that Lazarus was sick. Now, it didn't say, "We need your help," or it didn't say, "Please come quickly." Or it didn't say he's sick and the illness is really serious. In fact, the note that they sent to Jesus didn't even ask him to come. It only said, our brother is very sick. Now, Jesus tells the disciples who are on his end of this story that the illness will not end in death. And in fact, it will be used for God's glory. And the disciples, being who they are, argue and say, wait a minute, weren't we just in Bethany a few days ago? And didn't they try to stone us when we were there? Are you sure you want to go back to Bethany? And Jesus says, we're going. But he only goes a couple of days later. And so when he shows up, he's greeted by Martha, the sister who worked in the kitchen, and who held it against Mary for sitting at Jesus' feet. You might remember her. And when Jesus arrives, he finds out not that Lazarus is sick, but that Lazarus is dead. And not only is he dead, he's been in his grave for 4 days. And Martha hears that Jesus has come, and when she sees him, she says, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Now, that's kind of a guilt trip, if you ask me, but that's what Martha did. And Jesus tells her that Lazarus will rise again, and that anybody who believes that he is the resurrection and the life will never die. And Martha says, well, she believes that. And I want to just take this is like a little commercial break. I want to take just a minute to tell you that eternal life isn't something that Christians invented. It is actually mentioned as far back as the book of Daniel in the Old Testament. And it is a teaching that the Pharisees taught. The Sadducees didn't believe in it, and that's why the two groups kind of fought sometimes. But eternal life was a belief among the people long before Jesus appeared on the scene. So I want to make that clear. Now, as you might imagine, there were a lot of mourners there with the family. You know how that goes. And Mary was with them while Martha and Jesus were talking. So Martha then sends for Mary. She's the one who sat at Jesus' feet and who also wiped his feet with her hair. And she comes immediately. And the minute she sees Jesus, what does she say? Lord, if you had come, my brother would not be dead. Same exact guilt trip. But Jesus finally notices Mary and everyone else crying. And in verse 33, it says, a deep anger welled up within him, and he was deeply troubled. Until now, Jesus seems like calm as a cucumber, right? But suddenly now he's deeply troubled and there is deep anger within him. And then he asks them, well, where have you put him? Where is his body? And they say, Lord, come and see. In verse 35, the shortest verse in the whole Bible says, Jesus wept. Well, as you might expect, some people felt sympathy for Jesus, but others talked trash about him, to put it in today's lingo, typical human behavior. And when Jesus arrives at the tomb, he says to open it, but Martha, the pragmatist, says, Lord, he's been in there 4 days. He probably smells really bad by now. But they roll the stone aside. And Jesus says a prayer. And he asks God for help. And he even asks God to let the people there see what's going on so that they can believe. And he says in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. Lazarus comes out. We can kind of see him with those grave clothes sort of dangling off of him. And he comes out and Jesus sees him and he tells the people, unwrap him, let him go. And verse 45 then says, many who were with Mary believed in Jesus when they saw this happen, but many went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. And that's when the Pharisees begin to plot Jesus' death. Even after coming face to face with God in their midst, some of the people not only didn't believe that Jesus was the Messiah, but they also reported him to the authorities in an attempt to get rid of him. But not Mary. Mary went out to buy a jar of expensive perfume so that she could anoint Jesus before his own death later on. Now that's the story. And I gotta say, this story always intrigued me when I was a kid. It was kind of creepy in a way, you know? Can you imagine what it would have been like to be in the crowd that day? I mean, curing a blind man or having a theological discussion with a woman from Samaria is pretty tame when compared with this story of Lazarus. I mean, Lazarus walking out of that tomb with those cloths hanging off of him and all the rest. But John suggests, the writer of this gospel, John suggests that maybe we get mixed up when we focus only on the miracle. He didn't even hold back. He mentioned the smell and everything. But many people focused only on the miracle of Jesus raising a man from the dead. And John suggests that focusing on the miracles, this is hard for us, is almost the same as non-belief. In other words, when we focus on Jesus' miracles and not on who Jesus is, we are in his corner as long as the magic tricks keep coming. But I think there's more to this story than the miracle. Because the fact is, every one of us in here today would say that we believe in eternal life. Am I right about that? Would you all say that? We all believe in eternal life? Just like Martha did. And I'm always quick to point out that our earthly lives are temporary and that eternal life awaits those who believe that Jesus is the only Son of God. John 3:16 makes that abundantly clear for us. But the thing that stands out to me in this story, aside from the creepy horror movie aspects of it, is this. It turns out that death is temporary as well. Lazarus died for sure. John makes sure that we know that beyond a shadow of a doubt. Lazarus was beyond resuscitation. The rabbis believed that the soul hovered around the body for 3 days. And after that, there was no chance of resuscitation. So in this story, we can see that even death is temporary. We live, we die, and we are raised to eternal life when we profess belief in Jesus Christ. Death does not have the final say. God does. And that's the good news of this story. Now, when we receive news that someone has died, it's natural for us to grieve and weep and even to be angry. It is natural for us to lash out. Sometimes we even blame God. But we are given the promise that even death is temporary and that eternal life awaits those who love God and who confess that Jesus is his Son. Next Sunday is Palm Sunday, as I said earlier. And we're going to see Jesus enter Jerusalem, cheered on by the crowds and lauded as the Son of David. But we know that that adoration doesn't last long. Apparently, life itself doesn't last all that long either. But here's the thing, neither does death. Death is only a moment. However, there are those living on earth today who live as if they are already dead. John addresses that too. John is really so full of so much rich imagery. I would encourage all of you to take another look at that gospel. But in chapter 3, right after verse 16, in verse 19, John says, God's light came into the world, but people loved the darkness more than the light, for their actions were evil. When we are drawn to the light that is Christ, we can live as those who are indeed alive, not hiding from the truth, not avoiding Jesus, and not afraid to come forth when we are called. Lazarus isn't mentioned again in Scripture. We have no idea of how much longer he lived, but we do know that he came out of that tomb, truly dead. He came out of that tomb when Jesus called him to live. Now, later, Jesus is going to come out of a tomb. See, we already know the end of this story, so in a way, it's kind of hard for us. But later on, Jesus is going to come out of a tomb, not resuscitated like Lazarus in this story, but resurrected, living eternally. Jesus calls us to live life in the here and now, even as we mourn those who have died. We pray for those who love darkness more than they love light. And we pray for ourselves that we might walk into the light unafraid and confident of the promise that Jesus has made. And so may we live every day as if it was the best day of our life. Not blaming others for our grief or our burdens, but turning to the one who can carry us through the hardest, hardest times. May we embrace the gift of life that is in the here and now, not dwelling on the fact that no one gets out of here alive, but rejoicing in each day as a gift, because we know that real life awaits us after we die. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.